Good afternoon, and on behalf of the Manufacturer and Business Association and Money Radio WPSE, thank you for joining us for Business Today with the MBA. I'm your host, Karen Torres, Executive Editor of the Manufacturer and Business Association Business Magazine, and I'd like to welcome a special guest to the studio, Deanna Renaud, Executive Director of the Community Blood Bank of Northwestern Pennsylvania and Western New York. Welcome, Deanna. We are so glad you could join us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, the MBA has a great relationship with the Blood Bank, and we are happy to have you here to discuss an important and timely topic for our listeners. Right now, COVID-19 remains the single biggest challenge for our community, and especially for employers where health and safety is the number one priority. We all know that it is essential to have medical resources in place for when a critical medical issue may arise, a workplace injury or accident or a medical condition, and now exposure to COVID-19. In addition to vaccine availability, one of the very important things that our community needs access to is a vital blood and plasma supply. So Deanna, if you could, please tell us about the Blood Bank, the work that it does, and how important it is for area employers and our community.
Well, sure. So Community Blood Bank is the exclusive blood supplier to the hospitals here in Erie County, and that includes UPMC Hammett and AHN St. Vincent. We've been serving local hospitals actually since 1966, so we have a long history here in the community. Our office is in Erie, and we employ about 60 people here and in the communities we serve. So, it's a larger organization, but we cover a pretty large footprint as well. We actually have about 19 hospitals that we serve in all, and that's through Northwest Pennsylvania and Western New York. The blood supply is a tremendously important resource for our community. This is the blood that's used to treat employees if they're injured, family members when they're sick, infants when they're born prematurely. So the blood supply is really what allows family, friends, and neighbors to receive the life-saving treatment right here at home. Our local blood supply is just two blocks from St. Vincent, just a couple blocks from Hammett. So there's an immediacy here that really allows people to be treated very quickly and, with the right product at the right time.
Deanna, could you please explain a little bit more about the Blood Bank's footprint and partners?
Sure. So, again, 19 hospitals, and with that, we also have 7 staff medevac bases. And that's really important because those helicopters actually carry units of blood on board. So when they are arriving to a scene, they could potentially transfuse in the field or en route back to a hospital. And so, that covers a pretty expansive territory. But our hospital partners are, again, throughout Northwest Pennsylvania, Western New York. They're in Warren, Potter counties, Elk County, Jefferson, Chautauqua in New York. So a pretty large footprint throughout Northwest Pennsylvania and Western New York.
And Donna, when we talk about impact, it's estimated that every few seconds, someone in the United States needs blood. What is the true impact of one donation?
So we've gotten that question a lot over the years, and I've been at CPB 15 years, and I think that's one of the most common questions we get. And, the rote answer to that is one donation can save up to 3 lives. But the more we think about it, and, especially this last year with COVID and just, how precious life is, the impact of one donation really is pretty hard to measure because, what's it worth to you to have your mother 10 more years or, to watch your child beat cancer? Blood donation does that, and that's pretty priceless. So even one donation can be the difference in somebody's life or in somebody's child's life. So the impact is to the patient, but it's also to the families and the friends and the people who love them.
And Deanna, how have donations been impacted by COVID-19, and what are your needs now due to the pandemic and the usual illnesses at this time of year?
Yeah, so COVID has impacted just about everything, right? You know, every aspect of our lives, and the blood bank certainly is no different. We've been operating, continuously since last March. We have to, right? We're, an essential part of the medical community. But with that, we've seen a decline in blood drives of about 30%. So normally, we have our slate of host groups and we have our schedules mapped out for the year. We've seen consistently about 30% of those blood drives have to come off the calendar. A lot of that is because employers, as we completely understand, aren't operating on site or they're limiting visitors. So, we've lost a significant number of our blood drives that we would normally rely on to collect an adequate amount of blood. So that is certainly one part, and that has been the challenge really since day one. I think all of us in the blood banking community, back in March, if you remember, I think a week before things really started shutting down, there was this idea that, we couldn't have crowds together. You couldn't have a lot of people in a room. And of course, the first thing we thought of is our blood drives. How are we going to do this? And then sure enough, things started closing. The high schools and the colleges, started going remote. And that was another huge impact. That's about 20% of our collections during the school year, high school and college students. They're trying their best to still have us when they can. But things are popping up. Schedules are changing. So, that's been another huge impact, is not having the student body available to us like we normally would. But with that, the need for blood has been constant. Very early on, so I think last April, there was some postponing of surgeries until, things could be figured out because COVID was just starting to emerge. But pretty shortly after that, surgeries and the schedules at the hospital, resumed in full effect, and even then some. So we're back, I should say the hospitals are back at pre-COVID levels in terms of their schedules and their surgeries, as we understand it. So, the blood supply needs to keep up with that. And so you can see that, there's a natural deficit there. If we have 30% fewer blood drives, but the need is pre-COVID level, we're working extra hard to try and find every donor that we can. It certainly makes a difference right now.
And we understand that plasma donation, plasma in your blood may contain COVID-19 antibodies that can attack the virus. Tell us more about plasma donations and COVID-19 and how it works and who's eligible.
Sure. So that is one of the things that has emerged, through all of this is this idea of COVID-19 convalescent plasma. We call it CCP for short. And, I have to, have a brag moment, I guess, because, our team last year, I think it was March 25th, this whole idea of CCP, started making headlines. I think NBC News was the first one I saw that there might be some avenue to use this. And between that moment and it was a month later that we drew our first unit of CCP. So our team really mobilized, we followed FDA guidance and industry best practices to get that up and running pretty quickly. So really proud of our team for doing that. But we've been drawing CCP for about a year now, almost a year. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If somebody has had COVID and their body mounted an immune response, then the idea is that they have antibodies, at least for a certain period of time after their infection, that can be transfused through their plasma donation. So if they make a plasma donation, then those antibodies should be present. And if it's transfused to a patient, that's how the hospitals are using that treatment. So to be able to do that, you must have a positive COVID test, something documented, or a positive antibody test. And, if you donated blood with us October, November, or December, you probably received an antibody test. And so if we identified you as having antibodies, that makes you eligible as well. You have to be 14 days symptom-free. So make sure, you know, you're over COVID and you're 14 days past any symptoms. And you also have to meet all other blood donor criteria. So, you know, at least 110 pounds, feeling healthy and well, you know, photo ID, those kinds of things. And that's really the basics of it. That gets you started. The FDA is currently changing the criteria for those who've had the COVID-19 vaccine. So we're reviewing those changes, and we're going to be updating our process. So if you've had COVID and you've had the vaccine since, probably the best thing to do is just give us a call, 456-4206. We're going to talk to you a little bit and, you know, see exactly what your details are. And hopefully, you know, if you're eligible, we'll get you scheduled to come in and give a donation. It really is an amazing process that, you know, we're doing here locally and is being done nationally through blood centers all over the country. So we're really proud to be, you know, part of the treatment process for the pandemic. You know, I can tell you back in March, we did not know that this would be our path this last year, but we're tremendously proud of it.
Well, thank you so much for all the work that you do. And I know that many business owners want to get involved and give back to the communities in which they operate, but obviously COVID is presenting many challenges. How safe is it to give blood and plasma right now? Who is eligible? What's your process for screening, and how long does that take?
Sure. So, right, safety is number one. And so, you know, we are cleaning constantly. But, you know, I have to remind people that we are already, you know, a highly regulated environment, you know, just by the nature of what we do. So we, long before COVID, you know, we were already disinfecting and, you know, making sure that our processes were clean and safe. And so since COVID, we've started disinfecting, you know, the donor chairs between every donor, the pens, the clipboards. We're giving snacks out a little differently, so there's not a common bowl for people to be picking from. We are encouraging appointments, although, you know, we know that that's not always possible for people, so walk-ins are still welcome. But yeah, it's really important, especially right now. I know a lot of businesses are just trying to keep, you know, employees there and processes running. But the blood supply, you know, in terms of red cells and platelets and those kinds of things, it really does have to be sustained. And, you know, we are tremendously grateful for those that have been able to keep up their blood drives. If you are interested in hosting us, we would love to talk to you. Again, we are the local blood supplier. So when you donate with Community Blood Bank, you know, those units are staying here in the community and helping, you know, the people that you know, we live with, you know, our friends, our family, our neighbors. So it's safe to give blood and plasma. There is no evidence that COVID is a concern in that, you know, in terms of transfusion or collection. And again, we're keeping everybody's space. We've got chairs that we've moved further apart. To be eligible, you've got to be at least 16. 16, you have to have parental consent. 17 or older, you do not, but everybody needs photo ID. You need to be at least 110 pounds. We have had some deferral changes over the last couple months, and we're tremendously grateful for that. One of the big ones is our tattoo policy, and that was actually something that the FDA updated so that we could, all of us as blood centers, could see more donors through the pandemic. It used to be a one-year deferral. Now it's 3 months. So if you've had a tattoo in the last 3 months, you just have to get past that, and then you're free to see us. So, you know, if you previously were deferred because you had a tattoo, think about your timeline because you may be eligible to come in. Beyond that, it's a really efficient process. It's about half an hour from start to finish. You're going to fill out some paperwork. We have a donor history questionnaire, so we're going to ask you a little bit about your history and your health. You're going to receive a screening for blood pressure, pulse, iron, those kinds of things. And then the act of donating blood is really only about 5 to 7 minutes on average. So it's a really small part of the entire process. Once you're done with that, we are going to give you a snack and you're going to hang out with us for about 10 minutes, make sure you're doing all right. And then you're back to your day. So again, about 30, 35 minutes from start to finish. Masks are required throughout the process. You know, if you're eating and drinking after the fact, you know, we understand that you might have to pull your mask down for that, of course. But, you know, we want to make sure that everyone in the environment is safe. We do have the ability to come inside. So if you have a large boardroom or conference room or gym or something like that, those are ideal environments because you can further space people out. But we understand that, you know, sometimes that's limited under the current circumstance. We also have two blood mobiles. So we can work with you to just set up parking spaces in your parking lot and have donors come out to see us that way. So we've got multiple options for servicing blood drives, and we are, you know, eager to talk with you. We certainly need every donor we can find right now.
And that's a lot of great information. What do you feel is the best option for giving blood plasma and how blood and plasma? I'm sorry, Joe, I'm going to repeat that. What is the best option for giving blood and plasma, and how can employers and their employees support your efforts?
So really, you know, as long as you get the donor in the door to us, that's the best way to do it. So if we can come to you, if you have a room, like I said, that might, you know, be a good site for us to set up, that's perfect. If not, we can still bring the blood mobiles and set up in the parking lot. Also, you know, we have a fixed site here at 2646 Peachtree. That's our main office. So, you know, maybe you don't have quite enough people to host a blood drive, but you still want to help. Absolutely, we want to talk to you. You can always set up a walk-in drive here at 26 and Peach and just send your employees over this way. We have some later hours now on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We're open till 6. We're open 10 to 6 those days because we understood that, you know, 5 o'clock was a little bit tough for some people to make it in. We also have Saturday hours, 9 to 12:30. So a lot of options here at the fixed site as well as a mobile option for anybody who's looking for a way to help.
That's great. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Just that, you know, I know that we all have a lot going on, right? I mean, we're almost a year into the pandemic. But the blood supply really is crucial to the treatment that's going on here locally. Traumas don't stop. Accidents don't stop. Cancer treatments don't stop. And, you know, we're all focused on the treatments for COVID and you know, those kinds of things. But in the background, you know, surgeries are still happening. And like I said, cancer treatments are still being performed. And so it is absolutely vital that the local blood supply can keep up with the other emergencies in people's lives. You know, we're, again, singularly focused on COVID, but there's so many other things that are, you know, ongoing that, you know, don't stop just because of the pandemic. So if you're able to donate, we would love to see you. If you can host a drive, please give us a call. We are at 814-456-4206. Our website is fourhearts.org. That's spelled out fourhearts.org. And we're on Facebook. We're pretty active on Facebook, so you can always find us there. Ask questions, learn about the process. Even if you want to just come in and visit and see what it looks like, we are happy to have you. So, you know, again, the blood supply, it takes all of us to keep it going, and we really appreciate those of you that have been coming in and keeping the supply going.
Well, thank you, Deanna. That was very helpful information. We are so glad you could join us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I'm Karen Torres, signing off for Business Today with the MBA. Have a great afternoon.